theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1. Well, hello, friends.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
I'm doing very good. How are you doing, honey?
Doing great. I'm excited for this conversation today.
Dude, we've been thinking about time a lot. I mean, yep. time is relative, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about anyone else, but I tend to talk to John a lot about time. I just find it the most fascinating topic. But specifically, you know, in the years that we've been in, 2020 to 2021, I feel like we've been in a bit of a time warp. So time is definitely something that I think is on people's mind more and more.
Yeah, it does feel like sometimes like it was all a dream.
Yeah, you know? It kind of does.
And what is time in a dream? Well, sometimes you can take a nap for like 5 minutes and then have a 30-minute dream.
Yeah.
That's a weird one. Or, you know, vice versa. I mean, time is a weird thing. And today we're talking about time in the real world.
Yes.
And we're referring to it as a good and a bad thing.
Yeah. Can time be your best friend and can it be your enemy too?
Yeah. And if you take that concept and embrace it, then how can you take advantage of it? So it can be your best friend and also like work with you, but you actually have to understand and maybe obey the rules of time.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, the older you get, the more it seems like time goes by fast. And you know, you've heard it probably before growing up. You're like, whatever. When you're a kid, you know, time just like it's whatever. But then the older you get, it feels like time is slipping away more and more, that it's faster. And obviously, that's all very relative in general, you know, subjective to each person. But I think what is interesting is like, when can time feel like it's your best friend and when can it feel like it's like you're racing against the clock?
Right. So yeah, let's talk about the enemy since you said racing against the clock. It is something that we're constantly battling against. It's a constant test of can we get that piece of knowledge or take action prior to the market realizing that that's a real opportunity and therefore that's how you capitalize on it. So that's where it's your enemy, where you're like trying to outsprint everyone and it's a timed race and you're trying to get there first. And that's where time can be your enemy because it's a battle. It is a battle against time and you only have so much time on earth and you only have so much time in the day to work and you got to capitalize on it and do what's most productive and work your booty off in what you believe in the most in order for you to win. You know what I'm saying?
To achieve what you want to achieve, whatever that is, whatever success looks like to you.
Yeah.
You know, you want to achieve some goals there. And I think, I mean, time is just such an interesting, it's a construct in general, right? And I think, you know, in terms of competing, right? If you're trying to come up with something new before anyone else does, or you're trying to understand an industry that you think is about to pop, you know, like really go, you know, how do you kind of balance your own relationship with time, right? And of course, the more things that you have to do, the more responsibilities, the more tasks from like work or from other people, you have to kind of, you know, set boundaries for yourself on, you know, what you spend your time on. And so, I mean, we talk about time so much because really we're always thinking about, is this the best use of my time right now? You know, like we are very aware of how limited our time on this earth is. We don't even know what that limit is yet. Right. But we know, you know, from a biological standpoint, what the, you know, limit could be. And, you know, each year seems kind of like, what are you going to do with the time that you have in that 1 year? Right. And you got to, you know, it's not all about work. It's also about relationships. It's also about, you know, family and friends and all of those things too. So really trying
and
to
being
figure
healthy
and being healthy. Exactly.
So the other way that time can be is time can be your best friend. And in all honesty, when I think about the best friend enemy, I'm thinking more of investment, you know, and when it's your best friend, time's the best thing. If you're investing into stocks, real estate, true assets, we can have that part of the conversation a little bit later, but if you're investing into an asset, something that's going to increase in value over time or make money consistently, some type of machine, for example, then time is your best friend because the more time that that asset has to, you know, develop and go into fruition, the more money you're going to be able to gain from that. So if you put your, you know, it's like the whole idea of if you put a little bit of money into stocks when you're like 18 years old, it's so much more valuable than if you put your money into stocks when you're 56 years old.
Yep.
Because time's your best friend, as long as you set it and forget it and you pick, you know, a variety, a diversified portfolio, generally speaking, you should see that grow.
Yeah,
over
it's,
time.
It's the and magic time's
your
of
best friend.
It's the magic of compound interest yeah. over time, right?
Isn't that like Einstein's?
Yeah.
What did he say? Do you remember?
Yeah, he said something to the effect of like one of the great known mysteries is the power of compound interest over time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that it, we're talking about stocks, you know, investment and money and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you can also apply that really to knowledge in an interesting way, knowledge and experience, right?
Ooh, okay. I'm ready to get deep.
I mean, yeah, to me, this is where time really, this is the compound effect, right? The compound interest over time.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think about this a lot because, I mean, I joke with my friends on the phone, like, yeah, you couldn't pay me to go back into my 20s. Like, why would I want to go back there to that confusing time? Because that's a time where you're really trying to figure yourself out, right?
Well, there's a lot of things going on. Don't forget that one.
That's
so
true.
You figured a few things out.
I did figure
a few.
True. But I mean, it's a time of exploration and understanding. And I was not one of those people who was like, I know I want to be a doctor and that's why I'm going to college, right? I know that I want to do this. I mean, I ended up becoming not a medical one, but philosophical one.
It's true.
And, but that wasn't in the cards for me when I was that age initially, right?
Right.
But I mean, to have, to know what you want to do at a really young age, like immediately, I feel is like such a gift. I don't think a lot of people have that. And the truth is that could actually change over time as well. But I think that sometimes when you're in this category of, you know, like I went to school, maybe I got a communications degree or something like that. And now I don't really know what I want to do with that. I don't actually want to do what I think I should be doing right now. So I'm going to try this out over here. And then you spend a few years doing that. Okay, I'm going to try this out over here, right? But if you started at 18 years old coding, for example, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You were basically just focused on, I want to learn these three language codes in programming.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to just be in that realm. I mean, that really kind of opens you up to various different industries that need that skill.
Yeah.
Now, by the time you're 30, you're going to be so good at that. Like, I don't even know what you're going to do, you know? But of course,
but you want to make sure you're investing your time into something that you believe will be a part of the future.
Exactly.
Imagine if you were investing your time, I don't even want to try to guess, something that is kind of a dying industry.
Sure.
And investing all of your time into it, then that would have a negative effect on your progress.
Well, and that's something you can't necessarily predict when you're young either. You don't know when things are going to actually collapse or what's going to, you know, make the industry that you're in not so so profitable. But, you know, also through experience, I mean, this is where we're getting into even, you know, like, who are you surrounding yourself with too? You know, you want to make sure you're surrounding yourself with like good people consistently and like really kind of, you know, it goes beyond money. I guess that's really what I'm just trying to say. It's like the sooner you can kind of figure out who you are, what your values are, what you want to do, you know, which sources to pull from when you're trying to learn about something new, you know, like there's a lot of things that come with experience over time too.
Yeah.
And I think that I love getting older. I appreciate every year that passes, honestly, more and more, because every year gets better and better. I feel like I got a little bit more figured out from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the PhD, those years, that was like kind of a big pivot for us in a way, but I think that it was definitely worth our time. And now we're out of it. And so how can time really become our best friend now, knowing what we know now and knowing the experiences that we've had in our 20s together, you know, our social entrepreneurship experience and trying to do business and international business in developing countries is no easy task.
Yeah.
That's something that we're never going to forget, that experience.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see how over time all of these kind of experiences that we've had come together towards the future. I don't know
it
what that's going to look like.
That you're bringing knowledge into the conversation, because I definitely, when I heard time is your best friend, time is your enemy, I'm more thinking about career path and investment strategy. And when you're bringing in the idea of knowledge, it makes me think, yeah, maybe knowledge can be something that's compounded over time. And what does that equal towards the end when you've acquired a large amount of it? Wisdom. And so I can agree with that is saying initially when it's the beginning part, if time's your best friend, then you want to capitalize on it early. You want to get knowledge in early and then build on it and allow that to blossom into something that you're able to capitalize on because others don't see it because they haven't invested that much time and effort into it for so long. And then all of a sudden you have a whole new perspective that is really futuristic, game changer, and that's where you're one in a billion. That's where the money's at.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Well, I just think it's something that a lot of people don't really give themselves credit for in general. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, okay, so I've been doing 10 years in this industry. Well, that's a long time. That's cool. Yeah. That's like, what do you know that I don't know? There's probably a lot, you know? And mm-hmm. so, you know, the bringing of the minds together of people who have that kind of real deep knowledge. And that was something I think you and I really started to appreciate during our PhD program when we started to actually engage with and talk to some of these people who are at the top of their field in terms of research in like psychology, economics, technology, all of this stuff. When we actually started to, you know, have the opportunity to have real conversations with them, mm-hmm. you start realizing like, oh my God, the not only the depth of knowledge that you have is really, really inspiring and like almost awestrucking, but it's also mm-hmm. the breadth. You know, mm-hmm. the depth and the breadth. You have a wide range of things that you know. You understand the history of like of Rome mm-hmm. and how that can apply to this and this in economics. And so it's really, to me, it's an interesting thing that people don't think they give time that kind of credit.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, it linked to knowledge.
Yeah. I think the other thing that we mentioned a little bit, but I want to be clear on this. I think that time is both a friend, your best friend, and your enemy. Mm. And you can't really control which one it is.
Yeah.
And this is how I want to like clarify on this is because it is your best friend in the sense that you have periods of time where things can be compounded, for example. Yeah. And that can be a very great thing.
Yeah.
And in Einstein's words, one of the most powerful things that you can take advantage of.
Yeah.
And then time is your enemy for everyone regardless because you got to do it earlier. Like you did it today. There's so many times when you're like, darn it, why didn't I do that last week? I mean, we were saying that so many times just like a few days ago. And it's like always like thinking we got to go earlier. So it is a sprint. At the same time, it is a marathon. Does that make sense?
And
it is both. And so I think the advice or like what we're trying to figure out is considering that it's your best friend and your enemy, how do you go about that? Because if it's a marathon, you're going to have a completely different strategy than if it is a sprint, but it's both, you know?
Yeah,
so
it is.
If it's a marathon, then you say, okay, don't, you make sure you pace yourself well. You know, this is a long-term game. And I think when we're saying, you know, it's your best friend, make sure you take care of those other parts of your life that are important. You got to take care of your health.
Yeah.
You can't just be sprinting and like only doing this. You know, we had an advisor, RIP, Pat, she was amazing. Yeah. And she told us, you guys can't go like this. Like, what do you think you are? I think her literal quote was like, do you think you're Superman? If you keep working this hard, you're going to get sick. Yeah. I guarantee it. And I will take that to heart that she, you know, thank you for telling us that because it was true. I remember getting super sick, especially when we like try to do too much. Got to find that balance. So that's the marathon aspect. What do you think about the other side where it is a sprint? Because you got to be the first to market. You got to go in there early. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the sprint aspect is interesting, and I almost feel like it's typically, I don't know if I want to say, it can be self-imposed, right? Mm, where you feel like you're not there, and you're comparing yourself to others who are there.
No, that's
and
deep
so
angle.
Now you're like, oh, I got to go faster to catch up, right?
Yeah.
And obviously there are laws of physics that and time that mm-hmm. prevent that from happening. You know, there are restrictions and limitations. But one thing that, you know, when you're in that sprint too, it's going to be, stick with me, it's a different way of looking at it. But I think when time, like just you and I talk about this a lot, what happens when all of a sudden you know your time limit? Like something happens and you know you only have X amount of years to live, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to still be doing? Are you still going to be sprinting on the same thing that you're doing? Mm. Is that what you want to do? Like, what do you want to sprint on? You know, and I know that that's another
that's deep
topic
I
for another
understand.
Time.
That's a really good interesting point of view. Like, if you knew you only had 5 years to live, how would that affect what you're doing right now?
Exactly. So then it, you know, the marathon is that 5 years, but you also know that it's limited. Yeah. And so like, what would you do? And I think this is where, you know, the whole concept of like short-term and long-term goals are really important, mm-hmm. because you want to make sure that you are happy with what you're doing. Like if you're sprinting, that's going to be exhausting after a while, right? You know that there's a limit to your cognitive ability, mm-hmm. for when you have to say, okay, I gotta take a break and I'll come back, mm-hmm. you know? But I think, that sprinting time against time is, that's a tough one.
Yeah. You brought up another point though that I think helps me clarify this. It always sounds so simple on paper. Best friend time, enemy time. No, it's really deep actually.
Yeah, it is.
And one point that you brought up is, it's not a race against others. It's a race against time.
Yeah.
And so now you're bringing in the whole concept of, earlier in this conversation, I said you're trying to stay ahead of others in this sprint. No, you're trying to do this as fast as possible because it's not as much about others, but it's really about you being able to have the ability to see the opportunity. And yes, maybe the measurement of time is when do others see that opportunity, but really, I do think the best thing you can do when time's your enemy is view time as the enemy, not others as the enemy.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Dude, we're getting deep in here.
It's true, though. I mean, there's a lot you can learn from others who are maybe further ahead than you because they spent 2 years of it, right?
Maybe and we're all on the same team.
I mean, I think we kind of are. But I mean, I'm all for competition. We both love sports, and I think competition's a really good thing. But I think when you're trying to figure out, how do I maximize my time to get what I want, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, you're not competing with other people. You're really competing against yourself and time.
Yeah.
And so it's important to carve out, you know, have a good relationship with time. I mean, really, if you're like, I really don't feel like I have enough time in the day, well, take a look at what you did during that day, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What did you actually do? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, some days are more productive than others. And remember, you always have to take at least a day off. Like, it's important to do that for your own mental, physical health probably. But
that's interesting. Yeah, it is a lot about like that balance of life. So if you're at home and you're just saying, like, you can't just be like, time's always my best friend. Because then, in all honesty, if it's always your best friend, you might not be as proactive as you would if you felt that time is your enemy.
Yeah.
But if you always go, time is my enemy, and you're very, very proactive, you're probably going to have a negative effect on your life. And this is a marathon. So you need to be able to take care of those things that are essential for you just to survive. I mean, in a weird way, and I don't want to get super dark, but in a weird way, I sometimes think that a large part of life is just don't get depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting pretty dark here, but
no, it's true.
You know, you look at these amazing celebrities that have these like incredible lives and have built sometimes empires, but then they have like a moment where they crack, and maybe they were going too hard on the sprint aspect of things and forgot that this is a marathon and I need to be like freaking Dolly Parton here, you know, and have a long-term, as long as possible, successful career. And how do I do that? And it's about finding that kind of a balance.
Yeah.
And if you do successfully do that, then legacy. I mean, legendary.
Yeah.
But if you don't, I mean, there's some people who have been very, very successful. And then other times after they have like one single breakdown, gone.
Yeah, done.
You know, I mean, we can, I don't need to give examples. Everyone can go Google celebrities or one night hits, you know?
Yeah, well, it's not even just celebrities, it's anyone. I think that if we're all completely honest with ourselves, we all have the ability to maybe slip down into that hole of like deep darkness. And the idea is to just don't let yourself slip, right? Mm. I mean, everyone has times of lows and being sad and not feeling as fulfilled, you know, as before. But
it's a normal part of the cycle.
To go deep down into despair, you do not want to even go there. So really, you got to figure out how to prevent that from happening. Mm-hmm. And that really, like we're saying, you got to take care of your own health, mental health and physical health. Because honestly, by not doing that in a weird way, you're actually kind of messing with time.
Yeah.
Your health is your time. I mean, like, you, in order for you to stay here alive, you have to make sure that you're not killing yourself.
Yeah, you need to make sure that you can finish the marathon. Exactly. And the marathon can be as long. Well, you're not in charge of how long the marathon's going to be, but you do have an influence on how long you can run for.
Yeah, does exactly. That make sense? Yes.
That was an interesting point. Yeah, so one thing that I want to say, because, you know, we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out our own advice as we're, like, having these discussions is I remember when we were doing the PhD and we said 7 days a week, we have to do that. And it was really hard, but we had to do that because time was our enemy in the sense of we had to get it submitted in like, it was like a few weeks or else we were going to be stuck there and our whole time game was going to be messed up because we were going to be there another semester.
Yep.
And so that was where we said, okay, we got to sprint during these last few weeks and we managed to do so. But it also does have a negative effect on our health. And I think now that we've kind of separated ourselves from that kind of a realm and we're, I would say, having more control of our own time, we are embracing this idea of find out what is your perfect blend.
Yeah.
And for us, our perfect blend is 6 days a week. Yep. We work 6 days a week, no questions asked. Sunday through Friday, we take Saturday off. And on those days, we also accept that sometimes with those 6 days, one day is going to be way more productive than another day. But we do set 6 days as working days, and then one day we set as we need to take this off. And I think this is a really important lesson because I also feel other people that we view as heroic also embrace the idea of I'm only human here. I'm not Superman. And that would be Elon Musk, who's known for getting a little sleeping bag and sleeping in the boardroom of his Tesla factory to ensure that he's there when he needs to be there. But he clearly states that he does take sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday, sometimes both off. He needs to have that time, and he does sleep for 6 hours. That's his number where he's able to have maximum productivity without having a negative effect on the work output, you know?
Right.
So the quality of the work or the amount of work out. And so I think that's a good piece of advice when we're looking at this idea of time is your best friend and time is your enemy.
Yeah, definitely. Just, I think that the best thing you could do is just like take a look at what you're spending your time on. Are you spending your time on the things that you want to prioritize? And I mean, we both love being active. I don't necessarily like running on a treadmill. So what could do to actually make myself have some serious cardio activity? Well, yeah, sometimes tennis. I'll run on a beach, but tennis is a lot of fun. So like try to make it fun for yourself. So it's not something that you have to like begrudgingly do. And, and also, I mean, there is more time in the day. I mean, the key thing, you have to have sleep. I'm sorry. If you start skimping out on sleep, weird things start happening to your brain and it's not good.
Exercise and sleep. Like, it's weird that you're bringing up tennis because it is one of those things where you do feel like, oh, my time's so limited. Why would I focus on tennis right now versus focusing on, you know, being on the computer and like learning about this and investing into this or whatever it is? You need to invest your time into those other activities to help clear your brain.
It's a nice little thing called endorphins that happen that you aren't going to get by sitting in front of a computer.
Right. Gotta
you
be know, human.
You gotta be human. And so just listen to yourself on that. And I think, you know, I mean, the truth is like, what is your ideal life? I mean, you want to create, you want to do things, you're interested, you want to lean into your curiosity, lean into the future. There's so many different things that you could do. And I think that the truth is you just kind of, I mean, take control. I mean, take control of your time as much as you can by putting boundaries. I mean, if you're like, I literally never get enough time. Maybe you want to write in your journal. Maybe you're trying to be more introspective these days. Yeah. And you're like, I never get the time. Well, maybe wake up an hour early, go to bed an hour earlier. You know, at night, if that's like not your productivity time, and wake up at 4:30 and just make sure you do it.
Yeah.
Or if you're a night owl, like say no to the next, you know, social gathering or virtual whatever that you have at night where you're having a cocktail or two, and just like prioritize whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
So
input output and prioritizing. That's an interesting way of looking at it. But, you know, it is a long-term game. It's one of those weird things where I don't think everyone should be thinking about like, oh, what am I going to be doing when I'm 65 when I retire? No, don't think of it like that kind of a marathon either. Think of it as the whole experience of life as time. But understand that compound interest is a real powerful thing.
It is.
So you got to figure out what is the best thing you can do to enable, for instance, your money to make money.
Yeah, you know? Set yourself up, right? Yeah. There are certain things you can do earlier on in life that will set yourself up ahead of other people who didn't do it. And there's nothing they can do to catch up. Right. Yeah. So I think
it's hard to, it's hard to prioritize that, but I think it's so essential and you got to do it sooner than later. I mean, look at us. We're just going back and forth with best friend, enemy, best friend. Enemy.
I know it is. It is kind of almost, there's a duality to it in of itself. But yeah, I think, I also think about it on the other end of the spectrum, and I know other people probably think about this too. Like, I have the same 24 hours in a day as Beyonce. What am I doing? You know, and I'm like, Bill Gates, what is he doing? He's reading like crazy.
Yeah.
And then he's taking action. Like, it's quite
impressive.
I don't know what Beyonce is doing 24 hours a day, but I think she's doing some pretty cool stuff. But you know,
do comparison. That's the other world.
That's the thing. But I mean, if you're in a position, where you're like, I need to, something's got to change. I got to shake this up now. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, you know, it's easy to kind of get into that, when you have to stay inside most of the time right now. And so really, you can have someone who you admire, like, how do they use the time in their day? Mm-hmm. Right. And, you don't have to, it doesn't even have to be so scheduled either. I'm one of those people who I really love and I miss changing up the environment, you know, like you and I, one of the most productive things about us, I think, is that we are able to be productive and we actually get invigorated by new and different environments. Obviously, there are a lot of pros to staying in one place too, that allows you to like be set up and to really focus and lean into whatever it is that you're leaning into. But I do really like, you know, just discovery sometimes. And if you're completely scheduled, if every single minute of your day is scheduled with meetings and readings and all these different things that you have to do, you gotta give yourself a little bit of room to play and to imagine.
That's a good point you're making, which is taking ownership of your time.
That's it. That's the key.
Yeah, we're cutting into another realm, but that's an important thing, is that it is your time. And so you need to figure out how to balance that. When others need your time, or maybe they don't, and how you can figure out what's the best route to go about it to ensure that you're doing what's best for you, acknowledging that time is your best friend and time is also your enemy.
Exactly. Yeah. Setting boundaries with your time is a really important thing, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's something that we're always working on. We'll continue to work on. And we hope that a lot of our friends do so too, but it's time. It's just time. It's a race against would you say it's a race against yourself, or would you say it's a race against time? I mean, now we're getting we're getting deep again. Yeah.
Well, I mean, time is relative to
to themselves. Yeah. Right. So it is a race against yourself.
Well, I find the different time zones around the world fascinating. I mean, really, when I'm thinking about, you know, when we were living in Bangkok and in Singapore, I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in the future. I'm literally in a different day that California hasn't even experienced yet. Yeah. And I think that it's an interesting concept to play around it with yourself, like in your mind. But I think that the big thing is, you know, have your own relationship with time. And it is really, it's not a race against other people necessarily. It is, I feel like it is almost a race against yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Time's relative, then it therefore should be a race against yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Time is a weird thing. I could talk about it for a while, but we don't have the time to do so.
It's the most fascinating. Yes. So honestly,
we appreciate you all. Thank you for taking your time to spend listening to us.
We
have a wonderful conversation. We definitely do. If you have a moment, feel free to subscribe, and we cannot wait to talk to you tomorrow.
Hasta mañana.
Adios.
See you then. Bye.
Enjoy this journey through sound.